Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, we're going into Scripture today, and our beloved Sister Ivy Winkler is going to be sharing the Word with us. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5, verse 17. You'll read the responding verses. And I want to tell you, by the time this message is over, the reality of what we're reading about is available to you. God's going to heal some folks today. Anybody believe that? God's going to heal some folks today? Amen. I believe that. Here we go. Now, it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was great to heal them. And when they could not find how he might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? And immediately he arose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Verse 26 together. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, because we have seen strange things today. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to hear a word from you today that will transform us. And Lord, I pray that your anointing would just be so present on Sister Ivy. She delivers the word of God today, that faith will arise in this house and the deliverance would come through the power and through the love of Jesus. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless us. Receive Sister Ivy this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, sound people. You guys do such a great job. It's quite a comfort, isn't it, Pastor? And thank you to the music staff. All of you did such a good job. And it wasn't so much, and yes, you did a great job in skill and technique and all those wonderful things, but you brought the presence of the Lord with you. And you led us into his presence, and I thank you for that. And musicians, maybe you didn't sing, but your voice is your instrument. And thank you to all of you. Jocelyn, where are you at? Wave at me where I can see you. Thank you so much. Are you ladies like so pumped about this little exercise thing? That's pretty cool. You know, fellowship and get healthy and all that kind of good stuff. Good job. Thank you. And thank you, Pete. Thank you for helping us all to feel safe in the Lord, but knowing that we've got God's man on the job. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank our pastors for everything. Sometimes we don't do enough of that, do we? We should recognize the people the Lord blesses us with. Well, this morning, I guess if I could, I struggled with the title. I just knew the message in my heart, and I finally it just hit me. Rise and walk. The text that we read said that the Lord's power was present to heal. Amen. And I want to lay a premise today, and I appreciate what Pastor said. His power is present to heal. Some of us have actual physical things that need healing, and some of us have very deep-seated things that need to be healed, that we crammed away in some closet deep in our heart that we don't want to pull out again, but for some reason it raises its ugly head every now and then, and you can feel the pain of it. But today, the power of His presence is here to heal. Rise and walk. Before we get into the questions, I'd like to just make a statement here about 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He, being Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we really believed that verse and we embraced it, that all of a sudden changed the course, direction of our lives, to never be the same again. It's like taste and see. Have you ever tasted something so delicious that it can't leave your mind? And everybody can come up with a new recipe, but it's not going to work. It's mama's old recipe. And only mama can make it like that, right? I bet every one of us have something in our memory bank that nothing else will satisfy unless it's done exactly the right way and we get the right taste. Well, when we taste and see that the Lord is good and we've truly experienced a moment of divine presence in our life to where we come to a point that we truly, truly, truly know He's real and He truly knows we're on the map and He really does know how many hairs are on my head. He knows every detail of my life and really loves me. When we come to that place that we really believe that, our life takes on new meaning and we're on a new course. We're on what we call a walk of faith. How many of you brought your Bibles this morning? I want to see the Bibles. I'm going to hold up your Bible. I love, Pastor, that you said, I want to read it out of my Bible. Let me see those Bibles again. Wave them. You know what? That's great representation. Thank you. In the technology age today, it's so convenient. I use my Bible app, the Gateway Bible app. If you don't know what that is, please. You saw some hands waving that or agreeing with me. The Gateway Bible app is a wonderful way to get familiar with your Bible. It helps you find verses and scriptures really, really quick. That's awesome. But guys, don't forsake your Bible you hold in your hand. I'm sorry that I'm probably a little old-fashioned, but I like the Word of God because it's traveled through the ages and it's still here. Everybody's tried to stomp it out throughout history. And look here. Look here. Do you know technology may stop? You may not be able to pull that Bible up on that phone. They talk about the grid and all that stuff. One of these days it could go out and we're all in trouble. That's what they tell us. Let me tell you, as long as I've got the Word of God, somehow there's a way. Somehow there's a way. I don't care if there isn't a grid, okay? So I really challenge you, if you don't bring your Bible, begin to use your Bible. Make it worn. Make it exhausted. Use your Bible, okay? The other thing is, I want to show you today and later in the message, you're going to see something. How many are familiar with this book? Anybody? Do you like it? Yeah, it's pretty awesome, isn't it? This is my husband and I. It's our devotion book. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Let me make some room here. All right. Recently, my nephew, who is an associate pastor in Idaho, shared a success story about a young man in his church. This fella had cerebral palsy, and he tells his story about how he couldn't walk, and he was told by many physicians that he couldn't walk. Today, the title of our message is Rise and Walk, and there are many that have become immobilized through offenses or just getting hurt or discouraged of your own failures, and you've become spiritually immobilized, but there's such a hunger within you, you keep keep at least coming to church. Keep pulling out your Bible here and there. Throw a prayer out there here and there. But you're immobilized. And this morning, I want to use this young man's testimony and his story to correlate it to a spiritual walk. Here's his story. He said, I was born 2.5 months early, premature. As the process began for me to walk, I wasn't going according to plan. My parents took me to the doctor, and eventually they were told that I had cerebral palsy, affecting the left side of my body. In other words, my brain could not tell my body, my left side, to move. They were told by a number of medical minds that I would never, ever be able to walk. When I was 4 or 5, my father, who was a bartender and a high school dropout, and on a side note, he says his dad went to night school, raising 4 kids, and graduated from high school. His dad is, by the reading of his story, his dad is his hero. Anyway, his dad would tell him, hey, you're going to walk. Now, how many of you have five-year-olds or can relate to the size of a five-year-old and the way they think and talk, dinosaurs, all kinds of things? Dad says, hey, you're going to walk. Because I love my dad, I believed him. I chose him to believe rather than the doctors. Every day after dinner, we had the Minky Mantle Walking Club. Who's familiar with that? Anybody around here? I'm not really familiar with that. Baseball. Yeah. Anyway, he said his dad was this huge fan, and he would go and prop him up against the couch, and then he'd run across the room to the fireplace, and then he'd say, come on. Okay, now all these medical minds said he couldn't walk, but the dad said, you can do whatever you want to do. And so his dad would work with him every night after dinner. Now remember, he's trying to graduate from high school and he's trying to raise 4 kids. No wonder his dad is his hero. And they did this over and over. He said, I'd let go, and for the first month or two, I'd fall immediately. Then one day I stood and took a small step, then fell. My dad shot across the living room, picked me up, and we both screamed in triumph as he held me above his head. Then he would set me back down by the couch and went back over to the fireplace, crouched down and said, come on. All he did was take one step, and his dad and him had a party. Now, I want you to think about our Heavenly Father and how he thinks about you. Okay? I want you to keep that in mind as we're going through this message. It took, to my recollection, he says, about 6 months to make it across the floor. I would guess that wasn't all that big, probably 10 to 12 feet. Took him 6 months. By the time I got to first grade, I was not using my wheelchair. After every session, my dad would say the same thing. Don't ever give up. You give up, you got nothing. Word of God, I pray that you would speak. Lord, if there are people here today that have become immobilized with their walk, their spiritual walk, I ask you to rain down, bring your word to your targeted purpose today. Yes. Lord, we pray for your power to be present to heal. Lord, let faith arise in our hearts as we hear about your love, which is way greater than this, Father. In Jesus' name. In contrast to this young man's journey, I'd like to share with you the story of my husband's father. He broke his back and he became a paraplegic. And there was a small amount of hope that he might could walk again, and physical therapists and various ones worked with him, and my husband says he remembered going and him trying to walk, and it just seemed so impossible. And at some point, Grandpa Winkler gave up. He died, never walking again. He gave up. Now, I've just given you a success story, and I've given you a very sad story. But today, I'm going to challenge you to lay hold of faith today, because God wants to do a powerful thing in you. And in that greatest, most powerful thing is being able to celebrate. Maybe just the moment that you stand. In order to walk, you've got to balance. You've got to stand. Maybe that's all you can celebrate today. Maybe you haven't been able to make that step. But that's enough. He celebrates all of our victories. For someone else, maybe it's running a mile. But for me, maybe it's just standing. Okay? So follow me. Let's define walk. I know that sounds like so rudimentary, defining walk. But listen to this. It says, to advance or travel on foot at a moderate speed or pace, proceed by steps, move by advancing the feet alternately, so that there is always one foot on the ground. I've never thought about that. Have you? There's always one foot on the ground. Keep that in mind as we begin to talk about, and you have notes in your bulletin, some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. But this definition makes so much sense if you have seen a baby learn to walk. However, once we have had the ability to walk and then we lose it, has there been anybody, either you or someone in your family, you've had the ability to walk but you lost it and you had that challenge? Right here. Wow. I can only imagine it to be like awakening to the aftermath of surviving a tsunami with unrecognizable ruin. Wondering, when am I going to wake up from this nightmare? Is that how that felt? It must be just like the most scary thing ever in the world. You can go online, you can find all kinds of amazing stories of people that have success stories learning to walk. But this morning, I want you to follow me in more of a spiritual sense. We'll address the questions. Have you ever really had a spiritual walk with Christ? These are answers only you can answer. I want you to hang on to this bulletin because I want you to take it home today. I really do want you to ask these questions to yourself. And I would like for you to write down your answers and start a process. Have you ever really had a spiritual walk with Christ? A consistent walk. Remember, a walk is actually advancing. It may not be advancing fast. It may not be advancing long steps, but it's advancing, okay? Has your spiritual walk come to a standstill? And number three, instead of walking with the Lord, do you just have occasional visits? Pastor a couple of weeks ago says, yeah, do you just kind of hang out with him every now and then? And number four, have you come to just hope to get by? Nothing more. Proverbs 13 and 12 says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break can turn your life around. The good news is, just as in our text, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Rise and walk. Believe it. There's a lady online that has written a blog. She couldn't walk. She had to learn to walk again, rather, due to some health problems. And she states, I can do all things through Christ. French fries, the perfect song, and a scenic view. I love the way she puts that. I think Denise and many others who have learned to walk again surrounded themselves with a team of helpers. None of them succeeded on their own. I love how Denise incorporated Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. But she also included practical helps and practices. I think sometimes we over-spiritualize ourselves right out of not recognizing the practical helps that the Lord has sent for us. This morning we are going to discover how we can do all things through Christ and include those practical helps and practices. I believe the exposure to hope creates a cascade of events. Now in your bulletin you'll see that we have listed belief, repositioning, building a safety net, growth from spiritual infancy to maturity and quality of life. We're going to cover those. Do you have a pen? If something resonates in your spirit, God drops something really that just happens for you, I want you to get your pen out, write it down. You may not be expecting that to happen, but have it ready just in case and jot that down, okay? Belief. Trust the Lord. I want you to hear this as if the Lord was speaking this to you. Trust me by relinquishing control into my hands. Let his spirit speak this to you. Trust me with your concerns, and instead of worrying if I'm listening, begin to praise me because I am listening. I will not always show you what's on the road ahead, but I will thoroughly equip you for the journey. Learn a new habit is what I would say with your belief experience. Your belief practices, try this. Throughout your day, say, I trust you, Jesus. Now, by the time 9 o'clock rolls around, how many challenges have you faced? I want some of you to speak it out. How many phone calls? Those of you that have an office and you're a boss and you got to deal with everything in the world, how many phone calls do you have by 9 o'clock? Come on, tell me. 20. That's my husband. I knew that was coming. He's with the fire department. Anybody else? By 9 o'clock, by noon, how many challenges have you faced, brother? 20. 20? All right, I saw a hand over here. All right, Larry, how many?
About 50.
Okay, and I bet I'm feeling vibes from the rest of you. I want to challenge all of us to go through our day and set our goal to say, I trust you, Jesus. I'll be honest, when these challenges begin to hit us, the first thing we do, we immediately kick into high gear and we start figuring out how to fix it, don't we? I got to contact so-and-so and I got to do this. Oh, my husband, oh my gosh, he just drives me crazy sometimes. He is getting it fixed. He's getting her done. And I'm like going, Chuck, will you slow down just a minute and let's pray? I have had him come into the house and say, Ivy, I need you to pray. But it's really hard for us. We immediately want to just go to what we think and what we should do. But let's try. Let's just try to train ourselves to say, I trust you, Jesus. And then take the next step, okay? Thankful prayers keep your focus on the Lord's presence and his promises, which brings us to a repositioning. Do you know sometimes you have to get positioned in order to walk? Right? Thankful prayers. I had something kind of funny happen. I was supposed to take my grandson, Isaac, to school. But I had to be at the groomer for our little dog, Snoopy. He had to go to the dog barber shop. And so I grabbed Snoopy, grabbed Isaac, and said, let's go to the groomer first. We've got to be there at 8, and then we've got to be at the school by 8:20. Okay. Snoopy, I don't know if he got nervous or what happened, but he pooped in the car. And I didn't know it. Now, how many of you feel the love of God then? I I'm just giving you an insight to the real Ivy Winkler. So I get to smelling the smell, you know, but I'm like, what is going on? And then, and so I get to the groomer and I said, I said, what's going on? Do you smell it? Yeah, I smell it, Maymay. And we're trying to figure it out. And then I said, well, here, let me have Snoopy. I got to get out and get him in there. I get him, and the dog had some of it left on him, and it gets caught somewhere on, you know, between the brake and the car seat, that little area that you can't get your hand in. I don't even know it's there. It fell in, down in there, and little did I know, I had already undone my seatbelt, and some of it went down into that part, but I didn't know this. And so I've got Snoopy, and I went, oh no, he's got this on him. I'm getting madder by the minute, and poor Snoopy, he can't help it, but I still got mad. I mean, who, am I an angel? No. And so anyway, I went, and I thought it was only on him, so I'm just like, oh, I found something and got myself to where I could get the dog in there, and of course the groomers, they didn't care. And so I get back in the car, and I go and grab the seatbelt and go and put it in. You feeling my pain? So I just happened to have three of those little antiseptic wipes in my purse. So, I mean, I'm using every inch of them very carefully. And I get that all cleaned out, and I'm still smelling something. I'm like, what is it? I look down, and there's a whole log between my seat. We are not going to hell in a handbasket right here. I promise. We are going to get back on course. I really am getting somewhere. At that minute, I was so mad. I kept telling Isaac, I am so mad. I didn't cuss, though. But the way I sounded, you might as well said I did, because I was mad. So finally, I found a diaper. And I had a big comb, so I put the comb in the diaper, rammed it down in there, pulled, shoveled up all that stuff, then grabbed one of those tissues and scrubbed it to kingdom come, and then I was ended up with yellow hands. I'm mad. I mean, it's just pouring out of me. So finally, I get back on the road, and I'm driving. I've got to get Isaac to school. In the ball mornings, I'm taking cookies to school. How many have had that day? We're about to get on 14 to head back to the house, and the Holy Spirit whispers in my spirit and says, you've been trying to teach Isaac on how to react appropriately when he gets mad. Now, today, this may not be the fieriest message you ever heard, but it's a message God wants out. Because it's where the rubber meets the road. It's where we live every day. Can we apply God's word in our everyday circumstances? Can we listen to the Holy Spirit when we're so mad? I'll tell you, I was so mad, I did not want to hear it. I didn't. But my spirit was saying, can you live this out in front of your grandson? Can you be thankful right now? He didn't ask me if I could be thankful for the poop, hallelujah. He just asked me, can I be thankful? Can I live out what I've been trying to teach him right now, in this instant? And you know, it took every fiber within me to say this. I said, Isaac, I am truly mad. But you know what? Maymay needs to thank the Lord for something right now. So So we started to practice thanking the Lord. I said, Isaac, I'm going to start with, thank you, Jesus, that I had those three little antiseptic cloths. So I said, it's your turn. Now, keep in mind, he's 6 years old. I said, it's your turn, Isaac. He said, I thank the Lord for my toys. I said, Isaac, that didn't have nothing to do with poop and Snoopy. He goes, I ran out. I don't have any more. He didn't even give me one. And then I just went on and kept thinking of things. I said, well, Snoopy could have gone on you and smeared his poop all over you. He says, oh, that's a good one, Maymay. I went at all that just to help you understand that honestly being thankful positions us to walk out our faith. Repositioning. That's what it is. Repositioning. Y'all, that was not easy to get myself. I'm serious. That was hard for me. That was my challenge last week. Once we believe that the Lord is for us. Now, we really have to come to that conclusion. Once we truly believe he's for us and not against us, it actually positions us to hear what God's heart is for us in the very matters that we're facing in this very moment. It's amazing how being thankful can change the situation. Did the poop go away? No, I had to go home and scrub the tar out of my car. Anybody ever heard of scrubbing the tar out of something? Well, let me tell you, this is the way I did it. I scrubbed that car. But it was the being thankful that repositioned me to be able to walk through this with a much better attitude and a lighter load. Many of us struggle to advance to this position due to a number of things, such as heavy weights of guilt, unresolved issues usually due to listening to our own thoughts determined by our own will. How about this? Listening to accusations of the devil who goes about looking for a reason to accuse you. Then he turns around and blames God and tries to trick you to get mad at God because he wants you to believe God's condemning you. But I've got a little side note to tell you. There's a scripture that refutes that. It says he came into the world not to condemn you, but to give you life. Then there's the weight of your spirit within you grieving because you know you've been disobedient. That's hard too. So repositioning, there are obstacles to that. But this isn't a hard thing for the Lord because he's our helper. He's the author of our faith and he can help us through all this. Since the Bible is the foundation of our faith and the inspired word of God, we can sustain our position by equipping ourselves with the most powerful tool, and that's knowing God's word and his promises and knowing how to apply them to yourself and apply them in practical daily living. It's like the poop story. Who would ever get anything spiritual out of that? The Holy Spirit really redirected me and repositioned me because, see, we have another generation that's watching us. And if we can't live it out in our everyday life, what is our faith? What power is there in our belief system if it does not teach our children the power of God to change our course, even when it would be a hard thing to do? There'll be a day that Isaac hopefully will remember, and there'll be a time that he'll be so angry, but the Spirit of the Lord will speak to his heart to reposition himself from that anger. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? Pastor said he didn't believe in them. I appreciate your honesty. There's a few of you that do. Well, back in October, we decided not to do a New Year's resolution so much as we just started in October, my family. And I, we decided to get a jump start on trying to be healthy. And so it was really funny. because we have this video that we're supposed to watch and do our little exercises. And to be honest, that first 21 days, I got so tickled at myself I could hardly stay off the floor from laughing. It was really terrible. But I have to tell you that as the months went by, it's been almost 3 months, I'm thinking, I got this down now. Man, I'm starting to feel strong. I got this down. And to my surprise, I hear the gal say something that I didn't catch before. Why didn't I hear that before? It's because it's all I could do to stay off the floor. It's all I could do one. I couldn't do 100 like it felt like she was wanting me to do. So I was so focused on being able to have the strength to do some of it that I couldn't hear how to really the details to get better form and to get the more out of your exercise. And so really, you think about it, even though I had practiced, I'd grown, I advanced enough to hear, but I had to hear something else to have better form. And that's the way we are spiritually. I think when we come to the Lord, we just think that, okay, magic just happened. I asked Jesus in my heart, and I'm going to just be a perfect angel tomorrow. I got news for you. You're still imprisoned with this old body here. And part of this body is this mind. And this mind doesn't want to play the game so well with you. And this mind is oftentimes your own enemy. Okay, let's keep going. In our repositioning, it requires us to put how we think into thought rehab. If you don't do a rehabilitation on how you think, you're never going to walk with the Lord. You're just not. Pastor, how many minutes do I have? 10? Okay. Good. I wasn't sure what was happening today. Okay. We're never going to walk with the Lord in a consistent growth pattern to grow in Him, to be consistent. We're never going to do that until we learn to evaluate our thoughts and whether they're in line with Christ's character. If we're not in line with Christ's character and our thought patterns, then we're going to be tripped up all day long. It's right there on how we think. Retraining our thought behaviors will help to position us in a direction of healthy responses and practices. The Bible gives us instructions. I mean, you can hear right here in Philippians 4:8. It says, believers, here's how you should think. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think, telling us how to think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Who controls your thought life? What do you feed yourself? Does the media control your thought life? Do they determine what you think? Do they found your moral values? I'm here to tell you the Word of God won't let you down. If you will train your mind to believe, to trust in the promises of God, do unto others as you'd have them to do to you. Do you want somebody talking about you? Don't talk about them then, okay? It's simple. You guys, we make this all hard. Be kind. Be thoughtful. What's hard about all that? Is there anything hard? Let's change the way we think. But, you know, have you ever heard a minister say, and you may have even heard our own pastor say about being dead to the flesh. What does that even mean? What does that mean? Do you know? Is it just Christianese? The flesh represents our own human nature, which has been influenced by our environment, by our parents, our culture, our society, the world in general, peers, education. So, honestly, you guys, the flesh is our own will. And our own will, our human nature, is really against, it's adversity against what God thinks. And when we come to Christ, we said, Jesus, live in me. Bring your nature in me. And help me to die to my own old ways. My old ways. That all sounds simple, doesn't it? Until the poop hits the fan, right? Till Snoopy goes in the car, right? Now, all of you have your own stories. But I'm going to challenge you today. Can you apply practical Christian living, practical concepts of Christ's nature to your everyday life? Can you really do it? Can your grandkids, can your children see in you the struggle? That's good that they see that because they know they're not perfect. But can they see you as an overcomer applying the principles of Christ's nature in your life? Who controls what you believe? Is it the Word of God? It's really what we feed ourselves. Your own thoughts and desires, aka your flesh, sabotages God's best for you. Your flesh continually tries to get your ear. The flesh is not for the new you. It's not for you. You think you might know what's best, but stop. Pray, filter it through his presence, filter it through his word, and get the mind of the Lord on the matter. You'll go, but I've done that before and I really didn't hear. If you will just begin to praise him after you've done that and take your step, you will see him give you the answer. How many times have you done that? You started on the road and just went forward. You obeyed the Lord, you prayed, and then you went forward. And then it was just like the Lord laid it out there and he showed you exactly what you need to do. I see some hands going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys, this is not a shout-down message, but it's a message that will make you shout when you live it out, okay? Do you remember the Godfather movies? Remember that? And they'd get some family member or somebody be disloyal, and the big head honcho of the family would say, "You're dead to me." And he'd never speak to them again. Well, you guys, we need to do that to our flesh. Because when it speaks, it's not for you. It causes you more trouble, and your life gets pretty miserable. It can immobilize you. You've got to filter everything through God's word, his promises for you, and his presence. Because when you're in his presence, all of this comes alive. Comes alive. All right, run every thought by what you have learned about Christ, and he will lead you. He will not lead you astray. Renewing our mind daily helps us to identify the traps that we find ourselves. How many of you have gone around a mountain over and over? You failed in a certain area, certain sins. They just thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. There's certain things that just trip us up every stinking time. How many of you just have gotten so frustrated with yourself? You just want to quit. You get so discouraged. But yet, because you know he loves you, you just keep on, right? Right? Well, what we need to remember the story that we just read, or I read to you, about the young man that his dad every day consistently said, "Come on, son, come on, son." And the Lord's calling you out. Come on, son, come on, daughter. You can do it. And then the minute one feeble little step, he celebrates your victories. He's so proud of his child. How many of you have had a child and they've done something and the rest of the world thinks it's just, oh, well, that's nothing. And you're just like knocking people down trying to get them to see what your kid did, right? Well, that's how God feels about you. No matter how little it is, it's big to you. And if it's big to you, it's big to your Father who loves you with an undying love. He wants you to not walk in shame and feel like you're the biggest failure and you ought to be the outcast son. He wants you to be confident in his love, that he's your biggest cheerleader. He's your biggest lover. He cares more about you than there is anyone else. So no matter how small your victories are, they're huge. And he's celebrating right along with you. Building a safety net is the next thing. Because we know the devil is our enemy and seeks to destroy our spiritual walk, we must build a safety net. That safety net includes being in his presence. It includes knowing his word and hiding his presence within you, knowing he's your daily moment-by-moment companion. At all times, there's nothing you face alone. In addition to knowing these things, we need to come to church. You didn't know this was going to be a come to church. You're here. Why is she saying that? Now, honestly, our safety net, all these things I've already talked about, but there's some practical things here. When you rub shoulders with people, you begin to take on some of these thoughts. It's called culture. It rubs off on you. We need to be in church. And when you get here, it's kind of like you can get lost. You might meet a few folks, but you almost need to look and see if there's some classes. And one class that I was blessed to get to go to was called Rooted. And we had the most wonderful group of people. That some of them I knew and some of them I didn't. And we got to know each other. We felt like we kind of went through the trenches together. And we learned each other. We learned each other's lives and we learned each other's faith. We learned from each other. And it was such a support. I encourage you not only to do these practical things I've encouraged you to do, but come to church. Make relationships with people who are honestly wanting to walk out their faith. If you see, sometimes you run into somebody that comes to church and they're really not that interested. Someone else has motivated them to come. So if that's the case, find you someone else, okay? Someone that nurtures your walk with the Lord, okay? So the other thing I want to talk about on a safety net is set goals. Okay, we can all just say we're going to walk with God and just leave out of here and we've got a determination. But guys, we've got to have a plan. How many of you in this new year said, how many's married, first of all? I want to see the married people. Okay, and I'm going to talk to the rest of you. How many of you married couples, and if you're not married, but you have a Christian girlfriend or boyfriend and you really have committed your relationship to the Lord, how many of you have sat down and tried to make a mission statement for your relationship for 2016? What does your relationship look like under the umbrella of the Lord? Have you made a mission statement? I challenge you today to make a mission statement for 2016 for you and your spouse. The other thing I challenge you personally, you individually, make a mission statement like a favorite verse, a scripture, a life statement, something that resonates so real for you. My husband's is in Corinthians, and it's the love chapter. That's his life scripture right there. It changed his life when he was a good old boy. Changed his life. Then make a goal. See, if you don't have a target, you're not going to hit anything, guys. If you want to walk in the Lord, walk this faith out, then you have to have some targets. When you start your day, give the Lord 10 to 15 minutes. That's all. That's all I'm asking. The Lord will grow you any other direction. But I'm asking you, if you're not really giving him any consistent time, I'm going to ask you to start giving him 10 minutes. Guys, you robbed yourself of more than that, which is stupid stuff. You know you do. Come on, don't act like you're that pious. Come on. You know we all waste time. We all have 10 or 15 minutes that we can take before the Lord. We invite him to be Lord of the day. Invite him. Bring your concerns for the day to him. And then find you a devotional book that doesn't take you long. Me and my husband do this in 2 minutes. But it resonates through the day, and the Lord gives us the strength and the equipment that we need to face our day. There's so much more that could be said, but I just want to encourage you, rise and walk. The power of God is present today to heal. It's that simple. Pastor Paul, music team, you can come on up. Pastor Richard. I encourage you today, rise. You can't walk till you rise. And some of you can't rise because you're carrying the burden of sin. And as Pastor Richard comes and Pastor Paul and the music team, I want you to recognize what's immobilizing you. Jesus said to this paralytic, he said, which is easier for me to say, rise and walk, or your sins are forgiven you? There was a heart change that took place. God not only healed him to where he could physically walk, but at that moment, something happened within his spirit. Today, the Lord is breathing and speaking. Rise and walk. Which is easier to say? You're forgiven, or rise and walk? Pastor. Amen.
Would you all stand with me this morning? Everybody stand. You bow your heads. There's something the Holy Spirit's doing right this moment. I think it's just so relevant to our message and also to the scripture you read about a man who was paralyzed. The only way he could get healing is that he needs someone to help him. To do something unconventional, to break the tiles off the roof and put him before Jesus. Jesus is here to heal you. And it's interesting that scripture said, it confronted the idea about sin. And Jesus heals him. He says, your sins are forgiven you. And what he needed to do was walk. And Jesus asked him, he said, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? I want to say right now, as you stand before the Lord today, the Lord is going to do both of them. He's going to take away the paralysis of sin.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.